Hey everyone, welcome to the Wednesday Wake Up with the Teach Better team, where we go live every single Wednesday morning to welcome you midweek, persevere through the stress, but also be able to talk shop, come together as a family, and touch base with each other. I know today specifically, we are going to be paying really close attention to those comments because I get to be live with Brad Hughes and we are going to have such good shenanigans. So if you are in the comments, we would love to hear from you. Happy, happy, happy Wednesday. We're excited to get into some teachable moments, catch up with one another, and then obviously do a community spotlight for the show. Stick with us as we wrap up with our morning challenge. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, good morning. It is Wednesday, April 12th, and I am live with the one and only Brad Hughes. Brad, how are you?
I'm doing really well. Good Wednesday morning to you and to our whole Teach Better community. And Ray, if I was leading off the show, I'd say I'm here with the one and only Ray Hewitt. It's been a while since you and I have both been in the saddle for a morning show wake up. We were reminiscing before we got on camera this morning about our incredible fun doing the daily drop-in. And now the Wednesday wake up is the place to be this morning.
Well, yeah, people might be confused because Brad, you and I host the Sunday show together. And that's been, just since August, we've been hosting that Sunday show. I want to confirm for everybody, it's not Sunday. Happy Wednesday. Brad's just getting to be a part of a different show, the Wednesday Wake Up. Brad, is this your first Wednesday Wake Up?
Yeah, I think so. I'm really excited. For some of our listeners and viewers, it might feel like Sunday or think is it Sunday yet? But that's the idea of the Wednesday Wake Up, isn't it, Ray? Is to check in with everyone and say, hey, we love you. We appreciate you. We believe in you. We're behind you. And you've got three more days in our school week to impact kids and important adults in your life. So here we are. Let's get to it.
I love it. I love it. And Brad, reminiscing about when we used to host every Friday together for our daily drop-in, I still refer to our daily drop-in show because we did a show every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for an entire school year, including breaks, more or less.
Right.
And I joke them like it's endless content. If anyone needs a podcast to listen to and you just need like endless support of, well, some shenanigans, but also like maybe some educational content because we interviewed a lot of people, that's still there. So if you're not subscribed to Teach Better Talk podcast, that's a great spot to go, or our YouTube channel has it all too.
That was a wonderful commitment on behalf of Teach Better for all of our educators who are listening, and the Wednesday Wake Up, and again, our Sunday night show, the Sunday weekly warm up, just designed to keep everyone inspired, motivated, but above all, connected with people that care about one another and connected with people that know that educating is no joke. It takes a tremendous amount of commitment, energy, inspiration, and we all need to keep our gas tanks full and our cups refilled. So here we are on the Wednesday Wake Up together again, right?
I love it. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all in the comments. I will say, if any of you are willing to put in your vote bright and early this morning, I would love to hear if you've enjoyed the shows this year or if you liked it better last year. What I mean by that is a show every single morning, Monday through Friday, like you could wake up with us every single day you were going to school. Or do you kind of like the variety where we do the Sunday night show to get you ready for your week and then Wednesday midweek? We're always looking for feedback from our community of what we can do, because Brad, I feel like our constant joke is like we can come up with some great ideas, but if it doesn't resonate with our audience, then none of it matters.
So I mean, we often say as educators and school leaders that the answer is in the room. You know, someone somewhere has the idea or the inspiration, and we have the privilege, Ray, of having a room of thousands and thousands, you know, both in North America and around the world, who can weigh into what's meaningful to you, what's important to you, what do you need at this moment? And that's part of why we have the comments open, Ray, is that what's meaningful, what's important to you in this moment as you prepare for your day in education, no matter what your important role is.
Well, and it's interesting because, I mean, obviously we're all planners, right? We try and get through the day, but we're also trying to see ahead. And we've had discussions about how, you know, typically over the summer, the shows will take some time away, we'll do some refresh, and then we typically relaunch in August. And what we relaunch in August, even we don't know yet, but we're in discussion about it. So that's why we love your feedback.
that's part of the exciting part of being creators and content providers, is constantly refining what we do and looking forward to new ways to do it, and recognizing that it doesn't have to be, and probably shouldn't be, the same way, the same time, all the time.
Yeah. And don't forget, if you are somebody who, and I just saw Lori's comment, which is perfect timing, if you can't make a show, or maybe it's the wrong timing for you, all of our shows are saved wherever we stream. So for example, right now we're streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. But then all of these become episodes, podcasts of Teach Better Talk podcast. So if you are a podcast listener, you can always subscribe, rate and review episodes there. Or honestly, if you're trying to catch stuff after the fact, I like YouTube. I think YouTube is like organized. Joshua Stamper and Rachel Jensen on our team do a great job making sure that those playlists are there for you. So that's what I like.
Ray, I've got a vision. I've got a dream. I've got some inspiration I want to share with you and the network. And that is, I would love to see, and I would love to be part of, a Teach Better radio station and a Teach Better network, where anyone at any time could just flip the dial or open a tab on their browser, and there is something Teach Better happening with, you know, honestly, we connect with hundreds and hundreds of amazing educators every week. And gosh, it would be great just to open a tab or turn on a whatever it is, and you've got something Teach Better at any time, just on demand.
Did Jeff Gargis put you up to this?
He did not. I can neither confirm nor deny that Jeff and I may have had high-level meetings about this, but no.
Okay, this feels like a canoodle between Jeff Gargis, Joshua Stamper, and one of our ambassadors, Alex Valencik, because the three of them are trying to constantly make my life harder.
That's what it's all about. I mean, they're serving the educational community, and then there is, you know, the shenanigans that we can impart on our friend Ray Hewitt. So it's all part of the same deal.
You know, why don't I just like not sleep? I'll only consume coffee, and why don't we just like have a show all day every day, and we'll just see how long I can last without falling asleep on camera. Let's just do it.
Well, I think of all of the amazing reality shows where you follow the lives of, you know, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And I think that, you know, the real Hewitts of Illinois would be a great cable offering, or whatever. I mean, we could be Teach Better Live, and we could have both the scheduled shows, kind of like the Big Brother program, where you've got the scheduled shows, all the highlights of all the clips. And then, you know, for subscribers, you could go behind the scenes. You could get the live feeds of whatever Ray and Brad are doing. You know, like you could see me, you know, spending hours and hours on my hair every morning, and just making sure that every little follicle is just right.
I'd have to bring my coffee maker in here, and in the middle of the show, just be like, and make coffee.
And then we could explain, I mean, okay, so number of coffee beans per ounce of water. You could bring that. Okay, it could be like a Teach Better cooking show. I know Alex Valencik, who you mentioned, would love that sort of a Teach Better recipe. I think the possibilities are endless.
Brad, the show's going downhill. You're doing Wednesday Wake Up wrong. This show's going downhill. We are supposed to talk about nothing valuable and not make plans. So shame on you. This is more of a Sunday topic. You'll have to table it for later.
I'm never going to be in.
Oh, no. Brad froze. Brad, are you still with us? Oh, I think he said he was never going to be.
There we go. Imagine, could Brianna imagine all of the different competitions that we could have between the Teach Better team members and maybe our listeners and viewers, you know, slip and sliding down, you know, Jello slides, or creating a Teach Better puzzle. Survivor Teach Better edition. I think, you know, the Teach Better team is stranded on an island, you know, maybe just a beautiful island off of the Gulf Coast of Florida, near where Dave Schmidto is. And we have to survive, you know, using only our wits and all of the amenities that we can provide.
Hey, Brad, when is your annual review coming up? I think maybe we should have a discussion about your ideas and your ability to share them live on camera with our entire community.
I think the challenge of being live with you and with everyone is I'm under constant review. So at any moment, I could just you turn my Teach Better career south and just head into a vortex from which I can never escape. So, you know, I just consider myself under constant review, constant scrutiny. It's a lot of pressure, actually, Ray, and that's why my hair is this length, is I'm either going to pull it out or keep it short.
Oh my gosh, Brad, you're stressing me out. I know that's not true. And I know you love the team. I'm not even entertaining that. Good morning, everyone. I love the comments, Brett. Everyone is jumping in this morning. It's great to hear from you. That's something we always enjoy about the Wednesday Wake Up and all of our live shows is being able to chat with you. Brett, I know we had a challenge for them before we made any moves. So we'll continue with the shenanigans here. We're not going anywhere.
Perfect.
But for our community, if you have a topic you want us to discuss for our Teachable Moment segment that will come up, I don't know, somewhere within the next 5 to 10 minutes, let us know. Brad and I were brainstorming kind of what is relevant right now. It's April 12th. There's, so many different things that we could address. And typically on the Wednesday Wake Up, we like to have some sort of idea, brainstorm, takeaway that we can challenge our community with to just better support your ideas, your creation, your innovation. So if you're struggling with anything or just have an overarching topic, throw it in the comments for us. And it's something that we can have an opportunity to discuss. While they're doing that, Brad, because I want everybody, I see you in here, I want everybody to try and think of a topic for us. I'd love to ask how your holiday weekend was. We haven't even caught up about that.
Great. Had a great holiday weekend. The weather is becoming warm and just beautiful sunny weather here in Southern Ontario right now. One highlight of our weekend, Ray, was heading into Toronto. We went to the Princess of Wales Theatre and we finally got a chance to see Hamilton, which has been was a wonderful production, a wonderful opportunity for me and the family to spend the day out. These are tickets that we had purchased and grateful to have them, by the way, but we'd purchased them around the time that the pandemic was emerging. And so, of course, all the shows were canceled. So we were waiting with great expectation, anticipation to have that show rescheduled. And it was every moment was just incredible, incredible.
I'm so jealous. That sounds incredible. I would love to see that show. I'm so glad you guys finally were able to do it.
Hoping that there is or will be a touring show coming into Chicago. I mean, huge arts community, huge arts city there. And I don't know. Do you have any idea whether that show might be coming to Chicago area?
I know it's been to Chicago a bunch. I have no idea what's there now, but I love catching a good show on Broadway. So I would love to find that out. I'm gonna have to look that up after the show.
We found ourselves comparing notes. So we were first introduced to the show by our daughter Megan, who she just has a nose for incredible musicals. And so here in Canada, we didn't have an opportunity to see it in person. We would have had to go to New York or to Chicago, but it was through the soundtrack that we got involved with the show through our daughter. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, now it's on Disney Plus. It's available on demand. And we found ourselves comparing notes between the Disney Plus production and the in-person production. And it just was remarkable, some of the differences and similarities. And just what amazes me about these performers is whether they're doing, some of them do two shows a day. Like we saw a matinee, there might've been an evening performance, but they laid it all out there. They left nothing behind. It was just the incredible energy and dedication that it takes to do it day after day after day and not lose your enthusiasm for it and not lose your excitement for the role. Recognize that every audience, you've got a new opportunity to excite, inspire, and express yourself as an artist. Just all credit to those incredible performers, no matter what stage you're performing on.
Oh, such a good reminder. I feel like there's a important takeaway for educators in there we might need to reflect on later. I think that's so powerful.
Tell me about your weekend. Highlights for you, family, friends, loved ones?
Yeah, I would love to. Wait, Brad, before I do, I'm going to switch our background. It's going to totally mess up everybody. I'm sorry. Ooh. But we had an announcement this weekend. I know. How's it look, Brad? Do you feel weird? We had an announcement this weekend for a new featured speaker for the conference. So sure real quick, let's play that in case you missed it.
Piece of advice that I have ever received is from my mom and my dad. My parents have always taught me to be me, to be curious, and to differentiate myself from others. My favorite travel snack would have to be green tea. It keeps me calm, cozy, and centered on my purpose.
So that was our fun, big announcement this weekend. We actually didn't do our Sunday show this weekend, but we had a little surprise that played for our private group, releasing that speaker. And then, of course, we announced CJ Reynolds the Sunday prior. So this has just been fun to have that be a part of our weekends now.
Every weekend, we're unveiling a new featured speaker or presenter for Teach Better 23. That's in Akron, Ohio, this coming October. Really hope that you are considering or have already made plans to join us in person. It's just an incredible event. And just the caliber of speakers that Teach Better is able to attract and retain year over year, it's pretty inspiring. And think about these educators that are putting it all out there every day in their classrooms and in their staff rooms as well. So really, really remarkable to hear it from and meet these wonderful presenters.
Brad.
Yeah.
I have a confession.
All right.
Because this happened to me yesterday and I realized we've been lying to our community. Mm-hmm. So I need to get this just off my chest.
Okay. I'm here for you.
Yes. I've been saying we're announcing a speaker every week for the next 5 weeks for our Teach Better Conference 2023 lineup, right?
Right.
It's not true. We are making a speaker announcement every week for the next 5 weeks. But some of the announcements have more than one speaker being announced. So I just want to be careful that I'm admitting we've been lying, and we're not lying intentionally, but it's the fact that we are making a speaker announcement every week. Because there might be a week coming up where we announce 4 speakers. So just
to summarize and to make sure that you are, you know, both heard, seen, and appreciated, you're expressing that we want to be truthful, forthcoming, transparent with our community, and that weekly there may be a speaker announcement, but it may be a speaker's announcement.
Yes. Yes, because if any of you have seen the graphic, there's a silhouette graphic similar to last year where we are unveiling speakers. You'll see that there's more than 5. And we did strategically throw in a few Teach Better team members to like throw people off we don't want everyone to be able to guess all the silhouettes. But I think there's only 3 Teach Better team members hidden in that silhouette image, which means there's still a lot more than 5 in the image. And so we are announcing a few speakers during some of the weeks.
So not only could we be making a speaker announcement or a speaker's announcement, is it possible that there may be more than one announcement per week? So we have speakers' announcements?
Well, all the speakers will be unveiled on the Sunday show.
Oh, yes.
And then, yes. So I feel like I just wanted to get that off my chest that we've been lying. We've been saying things incorrectly and we have failed our community.
Now that you've revealed our abject failure, how are you feeling? Is that you feel a bit lighter, a little bit more?
I feel good. Yeah. I had a great weekend. We in our family like to combine as many holidays as possible because that's just who we are, I guess. So we celebrated Passover and Easter in one big shebang. And it was a great weekend. So I feel lighter now that I've also confessed that we made a mistake. So this is good.
Does celebrations in and around your place involve coming together around food? And if so, could that have contributed to the feeling of heaviness? And now that heaviness is being, you know, relieved.
Excessively, Brad, because if you've ever celebrated Passover, all you do is eat matzah. And that's about the heaviest, grossest cracker of all time. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel good now. I feel better. For sure.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I want to make sure that you, is there anything else that you'd like to confess? Anything else? I mean, we're here live with, you know, countless others. We just want to make sure that you support. Anything else that's on your mind?
Only the fact that I know we need to get into our teachable moment. I'm excited to choose our topic, Brad.
Well played.
Otherwise we'll be here all day. If this is a therapy session, like I go to therapy once a week already, so we could do this.
one of our viewers has a topic. So if we flip the switch and transition to our teachable moment, we can have a great discussion.
All right. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, we are live for the a Wednesday wake up with the Teach Better team, and we are all feeling light and airy after big confessions going on this morning. We are here with Brad Hughes, which just always makes my morning so much better. And we're getting into our teachable moments. If you are just joining the show, we are thrilled you're here and excited to be a part of your Wednesday morning. Thank you to those of you who have been so active in the chat. Mm-hmm. It just makes us just more energized and feeling more engaged with our audience. And I know some of you can't see all the comments because we're streaming in multiple locations and you can only see the comments where you're actually streaming from. But don't forget to join our Sunday show where we also stream at one location. That way you can see everybody's comments. But Brad Hughes, it is time for our teachable moments. Teach us something.
Well, actually, I'm gonna springboard off of this inspired question from Janelle in our comments. And Janelle is wondering, as we approach the end of the school year, there may be students who struggle to go home or struggle with, I guess, negative anticipation or anxiety around the end of the school year and begin to lash out. We may see an increase in extreme behavior. So Janelle's wondering about strategies for students who are in this category, strategies for students who struggle with their behavior when the stress increases or the uncertainty, especially around the end of a school year, increases.
It's interesting, Brad. I love this topic because I think preparing now for that, even though many of us might be 2-3 months away from that happening, it's also, I think, relevant to educators. Maybe not that educators aren't excited for the summer, but educators that are going through the stress of something and handling those behaviors appropriately. And even as adults, we don't always make great choices on how we can regulate and support our own bodies anytime we're through a transition.
For sure.
I like this topic, Janelle. Thanks for the idea. Appreciate you.
What I love about Janelle's question, Ray, is that she's revealing that below the tip of the iceberg of any challenging behaviors, there is so much that it can be and could be revealed. So what we see and respond to on an emotional or physical level in terms of student behavior, or sometimes we'd call it misbehavior, under the tip of that iceberg, Janelle is reminding us that there are many, many stressors that are being revealed in what students choose to say and do. So in some cases, it's students who are negatively anticipating the separation from teachers, classmates, a predictable and maybe a needed routine, an opportunity to feel seen, heard, and supported in their classroom. And it may not be something that any of our students can necessarily articulate. It's just something that as educators and as Janelle pointing out, we need to be ready and willing to dig a little bit deeper than just the surface of what we're seeing and honestly how it may impact what we're trying to do, which is to teach and educate and support and learn, but dig deeper beyond the surface and try to uncover what might be below that iceberg and how might we address those underlying stressors.
You know, Brad, it's interesting. I wonder if the first recommendation we can make is this opportunity to be proactive versus reactive. I know for myself, so I'm just maybe doing my own internal reflection. Mm-hmm. I do best when I am planned ahead and nothing is a surprise. And so while we know that this could be something that our students are experiencing, they may not yet have that anxiety in April. It might come as the school year comes to a close in May or June, depending on your school year. But we actually, in our ability to be proactive, can maybe prepare them with good strategy so that stress is not as severe by being proactive. What are your thoughts on that?
I completely agree. And as I reflect on what April, May, and June in our schools and districts will reveal, it really is to expect the unexpected because mm-hmm. there's just so many different activities or administrative responsibilities or unplanned things that can come up. Now might be the time to work with our students and our colleagues to say, how will we respond if the unexpected happens? I think of the teacher that has a model lesson prepared, and then there's a call from the office or a fire bell rings or something happens unexpectedly. A child is sick. And sometimes things just have to be set aside. But as educators, we have a plan that we want and need to carry out with the kids because that's part of our learning, part of our responsibility. So now might be the time to prepare ourselves through class meetings, through community meetings, community circles, maybe your warm-up or your bell work, or maybe sort of an end of day kind of wrap up. How will we respond as a classroom community or as a school community when the unexpected happens? And a reminder that we do have coping and management strategies around that. It could include deep breathing. it could remind ourselves that, yep, we're prepared for the unexpected. We've got this. But above all, the educators will model the desired behaviors for kids. And so if we recognize in ourselves that unexpected changes cause us to escalate, our heart rate increases, our breathing becomes shallow, not only can kids see and hear, they can feel and will either co-escalate or co-regulate with us, depending on our emotional responses. And so just a reminder to be kind to ourselves as the adults, and recognize where our triggers or stresses might be, and include ourselves in that kind of work with our kids. How will we, not you, how will we as a classroom team respond when the unexpected happens?
I love that. I've been working on this on my own recently with anxiety and panic attacks and things that I've personally been working through. And it's interesting when you talk about the deep breathing, that's that every counselor I've spoken to, every doctor I talk to, they're like, deep breathing is the first thing they always turn to. And I feel quite confident with my ability to do that. And I was kind of looking for the next step. And I found myself struggling to identify what the next option is. So I wonder if we can provide those to students saying, yes, let's do some of these really good strategies that are good to do at any point when stress arises. And then what are some other strategies too? I know journaling is a big deal. Journaling is a great way to support our own processing. And I like the concept of giving students some sort of physical reminder of the community that exists in school. It's not that community went away, but that maybe it will be accessible in the future after the summer subsides. So is there a way to not give like summer homework? That's not what I mean. But like, is there a way to give a challenge to your students that you can prepare them for, begin to prepare them for now, that either has to do with something physical that they take home with them all summer long? I've actually seen teachers hand out rocks with inspirational words on them or whatever it is that they know they can turn to when they are seeking community, or challenging them to journal and bring that back and share about their summer, even though they're not all in the same classroom the following year. Like, can we create some of those like logical supports and emotional supports and put those together to support our students for the summer?
So much good stuff there, Ray. And like you, working through stress management, working through addressing panic and dysregulation as an individual, as an adult, is part of my journey as well. And what I recognize as educators is that it's okay to start with, okay, just breathe. But as educators, as the adults in the room, you're trying to take a moment. It's hard to take a moment when you've got maybe 30 young people in your care.
Yeah.
Or maybe you've got a challenging parent or parents in your office, or maybe there's a critical situation that comes up. As educators, we can feel that we're always on display, always in front of an audience, always caring for others. It's really, I've got no answers, but I want to recognize it's really, really difficult in the moment to say, first of all, I need to breathe, because our physiological response is the opposite. I mean, the breathing becomes shallow and our muscles become tense because our body is designed to keep us safe. Our body and brain working together, get out of here. We got it. But we can't get out of here. We're in the care. We've got 30 little ones in our care. So I just want to recognize that that's not easy to do. And that's a question we want to keep coming back to, is what comes next? Right. After even if you are able to remind yourself to do the breathing, which, you know, you can model and you can remember, but what comes next after that as educators, and what comes next after that as we're modeling that forward for kids? So much good stuff there.
Something that we used to do that got, like, you know, when you remember fun stuff you've done with students, and you're like, oh, this is so much fun. So the thing that we did for many years was we, at the end of the year, I know we talk about the beginning of the year, but at the end of the year, we made a class playlist and everybody had access. We used to do it on YouTube because then really everybody had access. And when we were stressed or before an exam or before if something like negative occurred, we would, I like to blast music like as loud as possible. And to be honest, I haven't done this in a while, so maybe this is something I should be turning to. But it was my way when I was in the classroom to like give a moment to myself, give my body an opportunity to jump around and act goofy and truly just blare music and get some good giggles out. And I loved at the end of the year, we'd do a playlist really giving kind of like the gift to students saying, you can do this all summer long. You have access to this. So just know that when you blast that music or when you play this song, like were there dancing with you too, right? So it's like an opportunity to, again, give them something not so physical, but give them something to say, here's a continued support that even though it's summer, it doesn't go away.
I love that because it not only reinforces sort of the emotional lessons and the community foundations have been established, it's a reminder that, you know, whether it's a playlist, whether I'm showing my age, I was thinking of a CD, whether it's a CD that's burned for the class or whether it's a playlist that's available. Like, it's a reminder that there is a caring community behind you and there are wonderful and restorative opportunities to reflect on why that music was important at a certain time and for a certain reason. Just really, really important. I was thinking too about how, unfortunately, in some classrooms and some schools, what the foundation of how we educate can contribute to the anxiety and the uncertainty when it comes up, because often we educate in a way where there's things are right or wrong, things are black or white. And if, you know, I'm thinking as educators, if we continue to cultivate communities where there is a range of responses to a possible problem, a range of solutions that's honored, or whether we take the pressure off of being right or wrong, then that can really contribute to what, you know, the flexible thinking that's necessary to cope when the unexpected happens. And as Janelle's wondering, as we're approaching sort of the end of the school year, just being honest and vulnerable and also really supportive with our students and colleagues that, you know, change and unexpected change is going to be inevitable. We can cope. We can work through it. Sometimes important things and essential things aren't pleasant. And I think we often anticipate that things are going to be pleasant or fun or exciting. And also we battle as educators against the shoulds. You know, by this time of the year, you should students know how to do this and not that. By this time of the year, you should know how to behave, or this time of the year should be fun and exciting. It, you know, the weather's warming up, the flowers, like it should be a wonderful time of year. And honestly, we got to be careful that we're not shooting all over ourselves, because that's not how life works. And I think that our expectations to get confounded about how things should be can be really challenging. We just have to remind ourselves that, you know, this is how things are, and we have the capacity to respond in the moment to this.
Yeah. You know, I think I will continue to get better at supporting students when they're going through stress or anxiety situations as I do the work myself. And I think that that's something that, I guess for me personally, early enough, this was not brought to my attention about how I can be better in this area, or I was truly foolish enough to believe that I didn't need this type of support. And whether it be because of COVID, whether it be because I've grown with my age to learn or whatever, I just feel as though we're not talking about the truths of adult mental health enough. And I know you and I have had the opportunity to discuss off air some of the things that we've experienced. And I just want people to know that if they need a confidant, somebody to lean on, to talk about some of the like icky hard stuff that comes with anxiety, stress, depression. I'm not a medical expert. I know neither are you, but it's kind of nice to talk to somebody sometimes who has some insight into what you may possibly be going through. And maybe like, I feel like there was a lot of shame in it that when I begun this process and didn't know where that came from. So as much as we support students, I think we will be better if we better identify that in ourselves. So
yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, Ray. And I want to be alongside you as a colleague, and also as a supportive friend to anyone in the network that is experiencing any kind of mental health concerns that impact both their working lives, but also their family and community lives as well. If there's anyone that you want to reach out to, Brad and Ray are here for you. We'd be happy to hear from you and happy to, you know, to share, you know, some of the learning that we are doing and continue to do. But, my fundamental belief is that, we're here to improve kids' lives. And unless we are able to have that same support as adults amongst each other and from our school leaders and districts as well to maintain, you know, the positive outlook and the flexible thinking and the stress reduction that is needed, especially at such stressful times as we continue to reinvent education post-pandemic. We have to continue to support the critical adults in kids' lives. And, you know, the well-being of kids is intimately tied to the well-being of the significant adults in their lives. And as fellow adults, we can do a lot to support one another in that regard.
Well, and Brad, it's interesting. I think the more I've struggled with this concern internally, the more I've realized that it's only addressed at the top level. Like, it's only addressed by being like, yes, educators are stressed, do self-care, do some deep breathing. But like, then nobody talks about anything after that. And I think that's where some of the shame, confusion, isolation comes from, is we're talking top level as if we're talking about it, but not everybody is solved by having deep breathing exercises, adopting a healthy fitness plan, and or finding 2 seconds to do self-care, which many educators even struggle to find 2 seconds to spend time with their family. So there really is an interesting balance here that I want people to, not to beat a dead horse, but to feel comfortable knowing that there's other layers, other things that can be done to improve your mental health. And many of us here on the team have recently been exploring that. So if I'm not, you know, forcing anybody to do any sort of work that they're not looking to do, but just know that we are here if anybody wants to have some hard conversations. 100%.
And here's the risk, is that, you know, busy, stressed, and confused individuals who are experiencing, you know, any kind of mental health concern, any kind of stress, when you're reminded, by email or on a flyer or a poster, when you're reminded that you should be taking care of yourself, there's that word should again, right? Sometimes it can become just one more thing that you're not doing well. Right. And when you're struggling to feel that you are well and that you're doing well, when you're reminded to look after yourself and you should be looking after yourself and remember to deep, like, it, again, the risk is it becomes something that is one more thing that you're not doing. And the other risk is that if we as educators aren't supporting each other in our workplace communities to address and try to resolve some of the stresses, you know, that kind of reminder becomes disingenuous, where it's like, you know, you're asking educators to do one thing, but the conditions in which we're working do not allow us to do that without some kind of really focused support. I love your challenge there, Ray Hewitt, is that, you know, let's get beyond a reminder to care for ourselves, and let's really invest in what we can to make sure that self-care, the shift becomes focused on community care. What can we do as community members to help one another shift the conditions so there's less stress and we're actually able to resolve the stresses that we're under?
Yeah. And waiting until you're burnt out, fed up, and you blow up and you do an hour of self-care is not enough. Like, that is just, you know, that's just a band-aid, right? Like, how can we find, like, just like we talk about classroom instruction, how can we find sustainable, scalable solutions? Putting a band-aid on where you take one day off or to do self-care, or you blow up to your spouse and then you go and lock yourself in your room and you have an hour to be able to like watch whatever TV show you want to watch and that makes you feel better. Like, those are band-aids. We want to find scalable solutions. And I think that's been my biggest takeaway over the last few months for myself personally, going on this journey a bit since about December, is that I'm like blowing up and getting burnt out, and then putting a band-aid on top only creates longer problems.
I think that really that really fits really well with who we are and what we want to accomplish as a Teach Better team. I mean, the Teach Better is in our name. In order to teach better, we need to continue to take better care of one another so that we can care for ourselves. And that's part of the better. That's come up a lot in our conversation. I love that. Is that, you know, there's no easy solution to any of this. It's just a matter of looking back and was I able to accomplish something or achieve a little bit something for my own mental and emotional health and well-being today a little bit better than yesterday, and just continue to build on that, you know, small steps forward. And as you said, Ray, you know, we're both here for our community if we can support you in that regard.
Yeah. I know you and I, we're both like very eager to talk about it. So like you reaching out to us would actually be a gift to us, because we're constantly wanting to be like, I have ideas. So it'd be good.
100%.
Brad, I love this topic. I love that we're able to focus on the whole teacher and also supporting the whole child. We noted giving them logical supports, you know, really tapping into strategies and using their brain, but also emotional supports, journaling, having something physical, a reminder. I hope that all of us are able to take this opportunity in April to be proactive with this work. And get our students ready for not only the end of the year, but hopefully a very valuable, refreshing summer for everyone. We'll be right back for our community spotlight. Good morning, everyone. We are here for our Wednesday Wake Up Morning Show with the Teach Better team. Brad Hughes is live with me as we continue to dive into supporting you midweek. We so appreciate the comments, the love, the support, but also the questions. This is what this community is all about. Brad, we have an opportunity to highlight somebody every single show that hopefully will allow our PLNs to grow, our networks to grow, but also allow us to get to know the humans behind the educators that exist in our world. Brad, I don't know if you're familiar with this educator. I'm going to throw a blog up on screen, actually. This is an educator where I was reading her blog and then wanted to connect with her. So this is what hooked me. This actually is called, this blog at teachbetter.com, Active and Engaging Lesson Hooks. And I loved that. And then I saw it was written by Michelle, who I wasn't really familiar with. Are you familiar with Michelle?
Not yet. This is why it's such an awesome opportunity to, you know, be here for the spotlight, is to get to know new educators with great ideas to share.
Yeah. So I'm scrolling through this blog because I really would encourage you all to enjoy it. If you haven't seen blogs at teachbetter.com, there's always a TLDR, which is stands for too long, didn't read. This is a summary of the blog at the top, but then you can go through and actually see all of her strategies. She has some really fun ideas of how to hook students in, which I just feel like I'm constantly looking for new ideas. And then at the very bottom, it has her bio and you can connect with her on Twitter. So to throw up her Twitter here, if I, let's see, share this tab instead. There you go. This is her Twitter. She is the Teaching Factor. And kind of an opportunity to connect to somebody new on Twitter. It looks like she's growing her PLN here. And I love the opportunity to actually connect with her on social media while also being able to read about her insight, not only in her tweets, but also in a blog setting as well. So if you guys are not familiar with Michelle, I would really encourage you to connect with her. I've loved reading her insight. I love her. Her bio includes so many different celebrations and accolades that she's been able to focus on, everything from SEL to writing and reading and literacy strategies, and just another good person to add to your network. Brad, any thoughts?
Yeah, it looks like Michelle's also a published author, has authored 3 books and has a forthcoming book highlighting creative social emotional learning through the project-based learning approach. So looking forward to getting to know Michelle through our Teach Better community. And someone worth checking out and digging deeper. It looks like lots to offer from Michelle Haken.
Yeah, something I love too, outside of what I've just already shown you, is within every blog, there's this like tweetable, already prepped tweet. And if you click on it, I wonder if it'll show you here. If you click on it, maybe, sorry, skip for now. It literally writes the tweet for you, links the blog for you, and tags the author for you. And what I like about that is I'm not only able to share blogs with people that I'm connected to, but this is a really easy first introduction if I wanted to chat with Michelle rather than just cold DMing her, which I'm sure she's fine with. Now I've like engaged with her content and shown her I'm engaging with her content. So really easy tweet to send. So just something for all of us to consider as we continue to grow our PLNs. But I really loved Michelle's blog. And if you're looking for something, I would definitely go learn from teachbetter.com. There are so many blogs there, and an overwhelming number, in my opinion. So
kind of cool. I love how there's stuff baked in to make it easy to share what you're learning with others.
Yeah. It's just nice because for me, I get up, I drink my coffee in the morning, and I like to go to the blog because I like seeing what people are talking about in our community. And I love that I'm able to then show them I'm reading what they put time and effort in sharing. So it's kind of a fun.
Love it.
Yeah. We will be right back with our morning challenge as we wrap up our show. Hey everyone, we we are wrapping up the Wednesday Wake Up with the Teach Better team, streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. Also becoming a podcast episode over at Teach Better Talk Podcast. Wherever you listen to podcasts, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review Teach Better Talk. We are constantly putting new episodes up, and there is an enormous amount of episodes over the last 3 years where that has been an active place to constantly document interviews and fun Teach Better shenanigans. Brad, I love being live with you. This was such a treat for me on a Wednesday morning, and I'm excited to leave our community with a challenge. Any thoughts on how we might want to do that for them?
Ray, it's been a treat for me too. And one challenge that I have is just based on Janelle's question. It's being, having the flexibility and having the grace to recognize that the student behavior that we may be seeing at any time, and especially as we approach important and critical transitions of the school year, is simply the tip of the iceberg. And along with that, recognizing that our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors are also the tip of an iceberg that runs very, very, very deep in terms of our responsibilities as educators, as community and family members, and to be soft and kind to ourselves. In my personal experience, that self-talk can really, really quickly shift from open, flexible, and kind to myself to the opposite. Always be thinking, would I talk to myself? Am I talking to myself in the way that I would talk to a good friend? Or would I give advice that I'm giving to myself in my own head that I would give to a loved one? Just recognizing not only are what we're seeing is the tip of the iceberg in terms of the students and the young people around us, but our own thoughts, feelings, and behaviors are the tip of the iceberg of something, very, very deep. And recognizing that all of that needs to be honored, celebrated, and nurtured in terms of bringing our best selves at that tip so that we can bring our best selves to our children and our coworkers. So my challenge is, I guess, to be kind to ourselves as we face uncertainties, both small and critical uncertainties as we approach the end of the school year, and to continue to reach out and to be vulnerable with and to be connected with a network of adults that know you and that love you. And I hope that, Ray, I hope that you and I can be even a small part of the network.
Yeah, very, very much appreciate that challenge, Brad, and excited to have conversations with people about short-term fixes and long-term fixes to allowing us all to be healthy so that we can be healthy to support those that we serve. So very exciting there. Brad, I loved being live with you. I loved highlighting what's going on in our lives, being able to have some great discussions, and also celebrating the two featured speakers and keynotes that have been announced for the Teach Better Conference 2023. Don't forget, friends, to tune in every single Sunday for the next few weeks. Or we're making a speaker announcement, not a single announcement speaker, but a speaker announcement, which might include more than one speaker for the Teach Better event. And then I know many of you are interested in possibly presenting yourself, and we're excited for that too. So those proposals will open in May. So we're excited. There are still more surprises to come with this conference that aren't yet released, not only related to you speaking and our keynotes, but other big surprises well coming later. So make sure that you're sticking around with our Teach Better community. Early bird registration does close June 1st. So if you haven't grabbed your ticket yet, this would be a good time to do that. We want you to make sure you don't spend your money, like use the money for something else. Like just grab a ticket, get the cheapest price, and then go treat yourself in another way.
Will one of the surprises be confirming that the Teach Better hot air balloon rides will be offered in Akron this October?
I would love that, Brad. But actually, the biggest thing is an opportunity to win stuff.
Win stuff.
I'm excited about that.
Eager to be a part of any contest, any kind of, I love prizes.
Yeah, I feel like we're in this phase of like, get excited about this initial speaker launch, the keynotes, all that fun. Submit your proposal so you can share your voice, your ideas, your message. Remember, if you're a speaker, you get free registration. So submit a proposal. And if you get accepted, you'll be in. If you don't, just still be able to network and share so many ideas regardless. And then get prepared to maybe submit to win something fabulous. So
beautiful. And if you're in the Akron, Ohio area and have a hot air balloon, we should talk.
Yes. But only if it's green.
Well, I can just see that. Beautiful, bright green, yeah, exactly that color, hot air balloon. Now, the Teach Better logo is a circle. So can you just imagine this huge Teach Better circle logo on the side of a bright green balloon? And people could, get lifted up. think it, you know, I just, it could be a huge attraction. I'm just saying it.
Ridiculous. And with the space that our event was at last year, I feel like we have that high ceiling. Maybe we should just do it inside. We don't even need nice weather. We could do it inside.
Well, just outside, there's that beautiful plaza. I can't think of the right word. There's that beautiful plaza area with, yeah. and it's just, I don't know. Maybe this idea is full of hot air. I don't know, Ray, but I
probably, yeah. No, I thought of you the other day, Brett, because I like treated myself to a watch, which is, you know, whatever. But it's a goal. It's like a pretty watch. And then the hand that tell time are Teach Better Green. I was like, Brad would be so proud. I love my new watch.
I would be proud. That's amazing.
Just little ways to sprinkle in random Teach Better Green. I love it.
That's right.
Friends, we appreciate you. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. And please reach out if you need anything. We will see you this Sunday for another big announcement and more to come. Bye, friends.